Welcome back to the Talking About Podcast. I'm your host, TW. Whoever you are and wherever you may be, thank you so much for spending a few minutes of your day with me. Real quick, go ahead and wherever you are, I will actually want to know where you are. So wherever you are at when you're watching this right now, just go ahead and drop it down in the comments below. And I promise I'll give you a shout out on the video next week just to acknowledge that your boy has reach. I want to know who all is getting to see, you know, this content. Who's getting to interact with it? You know, what countries are you in? What state are you in? You know, is this your first time seeing the video? Tell me a little bit about you, because you're going to get to know a lot about me while you're watching these videos. You're going to get to know a lot about my takes. Real quick, before I get started, I got to acknowledge for my loyal supporters who've been keeping up with the pod, for my loyal supporters who have been watching the YouTube channel, subscribing to the YouTube channel, liking and watching the videos. The pod has been down. Pod has been down for a couple of weeks, not gonna lie. The last pod I brought you guys was the week after WrestleMania, and I just got busy. I'm not gonna lie to you, I just got really busy. You know, my real job, you know, I work in sports, and it was just a very busy time. There was NBA playoffs, NBA finals, NBA draft, but it's a much slower time right now, so I got a little bit more free time to get the pod organized, and I promise you guys, it's going to be coming at you guys quite regularly, okay? I'm going to be all up in your earlobes, all up in your feeds, just dropping this content, and so yeah, let's go ahead and let's get into it, because there was a lot that happened in this past week. Now, if you're catching this on Monday, I'm recording this on Monday. Hopefully you'll get this. Maybe you can check it out before Raw drops. But we're going to talk a little bit about the stuff that happened last week, because it was a crazy week. Roman Reigns went to tribal court. Okay, that was a crazy, crazy moment. There was a, you know, very long segment, took up most of the show. Other stuff on the show had to get condensed and rushed. But what we got from this segment was absolutely worth it. Threads is here. Is Threads here to stay? I don't know. I think they got something like 500 million signups in a week. Crazy. So that happened. I want to know how you guys are feeling about it. I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. Kiki Palmer. Kiki Palmer's man got himself in a lot of trouble. But you know what? I got to say, he played himself, but she was not totally innocent in this. Some of you guys may not like that, but she wasn't. She played a part in this whole situation. And people have had some steam for your boy LA Knight, and I don't know why. Some people have had... Actually, that's not true. I do know why, and we're going to address it, okay? But first, our top story, without a doubt. Roman Reigns with the Tribal Court at SmackDown on Friday night. And it was a good time. It was a great segment. It opened the show. I actually thought it was going to close the show, but it opened the show. SmackDown was in MSG, Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena, and it was lit. The crowd was chanting. They were hot. I heard that it was an absolute sellout. The company told the talent there was no comp tickets to be had. So, you know, wrestlers couldn't be like, oh, you know, let me have my cousin or whoever or my agent just come, you know, just hang out. We'll get you a seat, you know, in whatever section. There was no comp tickets to be had. And I've also heard it said that the next time WWE plays Madison Square Garden, they're thinking about going with a smaller stage so that they can fit more people in, because that's how hot that ticket is. So good for them, okay? Good for you, WWE. Your ticket is on fire right now. You're going everywhere. You're going all over the world. And even right here in America, you are still selling and making lots of money. So good for you, because we know that's what it's all about. It's all about the do-re-mi, okay? But let's get back to this tribal court. The Usos came out, and then Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa came out. Then Paul Heyman started to present Roman's case for a defense, but the Usos told him to please shut up. Now Heyman quickly checked him. He said there's only one person who can make him shut up. And after he said that, Solo put his hand over the mic as Paul Heyman was talking. Now we know he was referencing Roman Reigns right there, but Solo put his hand over the mic and just kind of looked at Heyman and kind of looked at his brothers, and there were so many little things here, right, that were big nods for Solo Sikoa that he was actually having a moment on this show. And this was one of them. So Solo takes the mic, tosses out of the ring, kind of hints at a little bit of dissension, you know, in the Solo Roman Heyman camp, right? Then on that cue, Roman's music hits, right? Right, okay. So Roman comes out, Roman gets in the ring, you know, he's telling, you know, Jimmy and Jay, he's like, y'all ain't the tribal chief. I'm still the tribal chief, so y'all can't call me. He said, this court is not legitimate, right? And then he tells Jimmy, he's like, hey, I don't need this. But before they do that, the Usos roll a video package of basically Roman just berating everybody, you know, yelling at Jimmy, yelling at Jay, yelling at Heyman, just, you know, treating everybody terribly. So when they come out from showing that, now Roman, he's emotional, right? He's like, oh, you just compiled a video package of my worst moments, right? Like, you're trying to make me look bad. And he goes into a whole spiel. I don't need this. I don't need the money. I do this for you. I do this for your family. I do this for everybody else's family. Umbrella service sounds real good right now, right? So then he turns on the tears. Oh, Lord. Roman came with the tears. And when Roman starts crying, I gotta give it up to the homie Sloan, because he commented on a TikTok video. He said, yo, when Roman starts crying, you know he's about to betray the family. And this is true. This is true, because Roman, you know, he got on tears. He put the tribal chief lay onto Jay, got on his knees, took a knee in front of Jay, right? So taking the knee, that's a big symbol, right? Like, I acknowledge you, my tribal chief, right? He took the knee in front of Jay, crying. You could see tears coming down both cheeks. Yo, the Oscar of the year should go to Roman Reigns for his performance in what was next, a nut shot. Absolutely, a nut shot. Roman Reigns, he hit Jay Uso where the sun don't shine, and Jimmy was in the corner looking shocked. I can't believe this. But also, like, what? Now, okay, let me say this. I was going to say, if you're Jimmy, how can you be shocked that Roman did this or behaved this way? But then you got to think about it. These dudes are family, and that's what makes this story dope. That's what gives this story the staying power. Because if these people were just, you know, strangers who just came across each other and had a working relationship, you know, somebody don't got to cross you more than once for you to be like, yeah, I don't trust you anymore. Nothing you say matters anymore. But family is different. That all of us who got some trifling family know, you know, sometimes that they've run out of chances, but you still give them another chance. You know, there's that person. Some of us don't. Some of us are very good at, you know, when it's time to shut the door, you turn the page, you say, I don't care if we came out the same womb, I don't care if we lived in the same room, I don't care, whatever. You do me dirty, I'm done with you. But a lot of people have a soft spot in their heart for their family. They want to reconcile with their family when it goes wrong, when it goes bad. They want to get it back, and they want to make it right. You know, that's what a lot of people do. And that's what you see here with the Usos, right? So right before Roman hit Jay in the nuts, he's on his knees crying, and Jay's got his hands on his shoulder. You know, Jay basically tells him, hey, man, we can make this right. It don't got to be like this. But of course, you know, Roman don't care about nada, Holmes. Roman, he's a ruthless vato. He don't care about nobody, right? Roman, nut shot. Then, you know, of course, Jimmy was shocked for a second, but he was like, all right, I guess we fighting. So he jumps in, and he starts attacking Roman. Then Solo comes in, they fighting. Now, at some point in the midst of this fighting, the lay falls off of Roman, right? So the lay falls off, and then Solo goes, he gets Jimmy off of Roman. Jimmy's over in the corner. Roman is in the corner, and Solo's in the middle of the ring, and the lay, the tribal chief lay, is on the mat. And Solo's looking at it, but he's looking at it like real lusty. Like, you know what I mean? He's not like, he should have just picked it up and handed it back to Roman. Here you go, my tribal chief. But no, he was looking at it like, hey, why can't I put this on? Why can't I be the tribal chief? Right? So this is going through his head, right? This is what's going through his head. This is what he's thinking about. And you can see it. You can see the thoughts and the emotion going through his head as he's holding it in his hand. And then Roman stands up and he's like, you're going to give that to me, right? You're going to put that in my hand, aren't you? And as this is happening, then Jay gets back up. And then Jay jumps on Roman. They all fighting. At some point in the fighting, they get Jay tied up in the outside ring ropes. So his feet are hanging off the apron, and he's just got to kind of watch whatever they do to Jimmy. And they beat Jimmy down, man. Roman picked up the ring steps, smashed Jimmy with the ring steps like at least two or three times. Then they laid Jimmy out on the table. Solo got up on the apron, did the big splash on the Jimmy. So Jimmy was cooked. We showed Jimmy getting taken out in an ambulance. Jay, of course, was with him. He was distraught, you know. As I saw this, I was like, okay, you know, so Jimmy, I guess they're kind of writing Jimmy off to kind of create an opportunity for Jay to have some solo space. No pun intended. And so later in the night, after Jimmy leaves in the ambulance, you see Roman backstage. And Paul Heyman comes up to him and he says, you know, Jay's back in the building and he's looking for you. And Roman says, well, he won't have to look far because the tribal chief is going to be in the ring. So Roman goes back out to the ring and he starts to cut a promo, you know, tell everybody to acknowledge him. But as he's doing that, Jay's music hits and Jay walks down through the crowd. Now, I gotta say, they set this moment up perfect. That moment was set up perfect. He walked out down through the crowd, slowly took his time. He brawled with Roman and Solo. Roman retreated. Roman ran away. Jay picked up the title. And, you know, in the ring, he picks up the title and the mic. And he tells Roman that he wants to go one-on-one with him one more time. And he's going to be Roman's judge, jury, and executioner. This was, as always, mwah. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful segment done by all these guys. Now, here's what I know. This was impressive as hell. There is no way around this. This was absolutely super impressive. And this whole thing is impressive. The fact that this story is still interesting, right, is nothing short of amazing. I mean, again, we're coming up on 3 years. SummerSlam will mark the 3-year mark on the WWE calendar. I don't know about the official, you know, like dates specifically, but it'll mark the 3-year mark on the WWE calendar of Roman's return and playing this character, which is basically the beginning of the Bloodline story, right? When can you ever say that we've seen a story this far into it that is still interesting? Still has layers and still has multiple ways that it could be going. Now, listen, where do I think it's probably going? I think it's gonna be Jay versus Roman at SummerSlam. Roman's gonna win. It'll probably be Jimmy versus Roman at Survivor Series. Roman will win. And it'll probably be Solo versus Roman at Royal Rumble. And of course, Roman will win because this is all going back to Roman versus Cody part 2 at WrestleMania. But somewhere along the line, we'll see Solo defect away from Roman and side with Jimmy and Jay, and the Bloodline will be complete again, but it'll be without Roman, right? I think that's the culmination of this story, is that Roman ends up all alone, you know, the next time he faces Cody, and like, and Roman losing to Cody is like the consequence of his madness, the consequence of him alienating everybody, right? But here's what's important. The destination is not really what's important at this point in the journey. We've got about 10 months to fill between now and WrestleMania. I don't know. Again, I'm not looking at a calendar right now. I'm sure, you know, y'all know everything. Correct me however long it is between now and WrestleMania. But there's a lot of time to fill between now and WrestleMania, right? So this is just not the time to be worried about what's the end game, all right? This is one of those times when, as fans, we just got to sit back and admire how they're building up each one of these characters. So the last few weeks have been big for Solo's development, right? Like, I just talked about all the moments in the ring from Friday night where we got to see Solo being a little conflicted. Like, think about the tag team match from London. There was parts where Roman looked at Solo and Solo was kind of questioning Roman's leadership, kind of doubting the direction that Roman was pointing him in, right? And so these things are about the growth of Solo. I believe it was last week on SmackDown when the Usos were cutting a promo and Jimmy and Jay both said, I don't want to be the tribal chief. I don't want to be the tribal chief. And they all kind of looked at Solo. And then I think Roman kind of laughed it off. And then Solo was like, what's so funny? You know, so we're seeing these little things, right? They're putting these little hints, these little clues that Solo has bigger ambition than just being Roman's goon. Trust me, that is going to come into play big time later in this story. That is going to be a big, big deal. And then tonight, oh, I'm sorry, not tonight, but then on Friday night, we got to see the little things with Solo picking up the lei and looking at it and deciding. He's like, yo, we're already all here fighting. You know, how much harm is it going to be if I knock this dude out right now and hold on to this? If anything, my brothers might come with me. So you can see that Solo is having some thoughts, and he's coming into his own more and more and more. And you just gotta love that, right? Like, this is the true greatness of this story. This is the stuff you gotta give it up to Roman, to the Usos, to everybody involved for this story, because people are really and truly coming out on the other end of this, on the other side, better than when they went in. Solo was an NXT guy. We've seen numerous NXT call-ups fall flat on their face because there was no real plan for them coming into the actual show when they get called up to Raw or when they get called up to SmackDown. But not only have they, you know, brought Solo in, right? They've made him look strong, made him look like a potential main eventer, and they're putting him at a level where we could potentially see him making a difference in ending the longest title reign of the modern era. Okay, this has been a phenomenal build when you talk about what they've done with Solo. Now, the other one is obviously Jay. Now, I've said that Jay is the main character in this Bloodline story all along, and now you're getting to see Jay really shine. Now you're really getting to see all the fruit of everything they've put in, all the time they've put in, all the buildup of Jay's character. But it's not there yet. I know a lot of people are not going to feel me on that one, but I'm just telling you, it's not there yet. Now, here's the thing. Jay has every tool. Jay has every tool. He can talk. He can wrestle. He can sell emotions. You can tell his family sees it too, because whenever you see these, you know, interviews, they always kind of point and nudge to Jay as like, yo, this is really the most talented one right here. Like, yeah, Roman is big and, you know, like he looks like a star or whatever. But I think everybody kind of acknowledges that Jay is the most all around talented one. But I think there's little things like they did an interview, and everybody go check out this interview. They did an interview with Ariel Helwani a week or two ago. And it was Jay and Jimmy just sitting down with Ariel, and really good interview, great questions. But just watching Jay, he doesn't appear totally comfortable commanding the scene. He still has a little bit of shy energy when he's in those moments. And I think he just needs reps. I think life is reps. Everything is reps. I think he just needs more reps being the star of the show, being the one who the story is centered around and not the scene-stealing co-star. The way they set up his return at the end of the show was cash money. From a production standpoint, you cannot present somebody better than that. Big giant brawl with the top star in the top of the show, emotional story, pulling you away from your brother, got you walking down through the crowd, slow entrance. You come out, you kick everybody's butt and get the mic at the end of the show. The crowd should have blown the roof off of Madison Square Garden when Jay stepped back into that arena, and they didn't. They cheered for him. I'm not saying that he doesn't connect. I'm not saying that. But for how long this build has been, for how long this story has been, I think the response for Jay, the crowd's response to Jay, should be better at this time. And I'm not saying he won't get there, but he may be running out of time, because while we do have a lot of time between now and WrestleMania, Jay's not part of the WrestleMania story, right? Like, Jay's main event is coming up in a month at SummerSlam. And so if Jay can come out of SummerSlam feeling like a bigger star, a real single star, then they'll consider, I'm sure they'll consider more singles opportunities for him in the future. But if this feels like another thing that is just being pulled along by the hate for Roman as opposed to the support of Jay, then Jay's not going to have opportunities after this. So I think, again, I think Jay has what it takes to be a star, to be a super duper star. But I think he just needs more reps. If they keep presenting him as a key player in exciting situations the way they did at the end of SmackDown, Jey Uso is going to be a big, huge star sooner rather than later. Listen, if you like what we're doing here, if you like these videos, if you like this content, please hit that like button. Okay, drop a comment down below. Please subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell so you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new fire content on this page. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the social media world, but it's been kind of flipped upside down the past couple of weeks. Let's go back a little bit, okay? So a weekend or two ago, I don't have the exact timeline. It might have been last weekend. So we get on the Twitter and we see there's tweets, right? They got it set up where Elon can put his tweets up and they pop right up at the top of your feed, no matter, you know, what you're doing, right? And so we get on Twitter and we see that Elon has set a tweet limit. It was something to the effect of a regular account could see a maximum of 600 tweets per day. And if you were a subscribed, if you were paying for the blue check, then you could see something like 6,000 tweets per day. And this went over like a fart in church. Nobody was feeling this. And listen, don't get me wrong. I understand why he was doing this. I understand why he did this. Like, he's just trying to find ways to monetize this thing that he bought, right? Like, he bought Twitter. And he's not the first person who struggled with the idea of how do we monetize Twitter, right? Lots of people have been trying to figure this out. But he bought it. He may or may not have the money to pay for it, right? I mean, like, first thing Elon Musk did, he got there and he fired half the people who were already working there. So, you know, I mean, he reduced the workforce of Twitter like big time, like big time. So I don't know, you know, I don't know if he can afford to have Twitter. You know what I mean? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see as we keep going. But he's flailing, right? Like, he's flailing. He's grasping at straws. He's trying as many things as he can to try and figure out a way to squeeze some money out of Twitter. But I think he might have, you know, kind of hit, he might have hit a nerve, you know, with this tweet limit thing, right? So the thing that we all learned very quickly is that you see 600 tweets on your page way quicker than you realize, right? Like, you don't have to, like, do 600 searches to see 600 tweets. And we all hit our Twitter limit very quickly. And I think what he just saw was, like, was people were just on Twitter complaining about Twitter. They were just like, yo, this is terrible. And it just so happened that they really opened the door for Twitter competitors to hit their launch. I heard about an app called Spill, which was, you know, being very popularized as a very black friendly forum. But you had to get an invite code to join Spill. I never got an invite code, so I never saw it. It may be hot, it may not. I wouldn't know. I haven't seen it. But then Threads came out, right? Like, and just, it was just like, I mean, Threads came out. It was just, they just kicked in the door, because here's how they did it. Everybody's on Facebook, everybody's on Instagram. So that fan base, right, was automatically signed up for Threads. It was just like part of your Instagram profile was that, hey, guess what? You have a Threads profile now. Go ahead and click the link to your Threads profile. And then once you click the Threads profile, you could just import all of the people you're following already on Instagram and all the people who follow you already on Instagram. As soon as they sign up for Threads, they'll be following you all of a sudden. And just like that, I mean, listen, the onboarding process could not have been easier. Like, it was, they made it so easy to just log on and get set up. And, you know, I've looked at some other apps, you know, right? There was one called Fanbase that came out probably a couple years ago. And I signed up for that. And one of the things about jumping onto a new social media platform is you have to find your group, right? You got to find your people that you want to listen to, your people you want to interact with. You know, what do you want to be saying? How do you want to be presenting on this new particular social media app? And people don't necessarily present the same way on every social media app, right? Like, and by the way, this is one of the things we found out about Threads very quickly, right? So when you import all your Instagram followers and you're following them now on their Threads, you realize that Instagram is a bit more professional, right? It's a bit more like, I'm here trying to promote a brand, or I'm here, you know, just these are a lot of my professional connections or my Facebook connections, which can be like, it's just an older group. Like, let's just say what it is. It's an older group, right? And you realize that that while the app looks good, right? The app looks fine. The use of it is pretty seamless. It has, you know, a few features that it could stand to update. Like, for example, you know, they need to find a better way if you run like multiple accounts, for you to switch between multiple accounts. They need to find some way to follow trends, right? Like hashtags, right? Where you can follow like, you know, wrestling Twitter or NBA Twitter or whatever, right? Like, they got to find some way to add that. I'm sure all that stuff is coming with rollouts as we go on. But the conversation is just very clean. It's very clean. It's very polished, right? And you immediately kind of miss the messiness of Twitter, because you realize the stuff on Twitter, the vagabonds on Twitter, the young people on Twitter, the ignorant of people of Twitter are what make Twitter fun. Let's just be honest. The ignorance is what makes Twitter fun. Sometimes you want to get into an argument. Sometimes you want to see a horrible tweet, a horrible take. Sometimes you want to listen to that Hotep who's got that education on, you know, where the black man comes from and, you know, all this good stuff. Sometimes you want to read a thread about that stuff. But you don't necessarily follow them on every social media app, right? You might say, hey, I like reading a couple of tweet thoughts from this person, but I don't necessarily need to see what their pictures are, right? So you don't necessarily have the same group of people that you follow on Threads/Instagram that you followed on Twitter. And I gotta say, the messiness was missed. I missed the messiness. I mean, like, again, I like, well, in my like Twitter universe, right? Like, I filter out a lot of the bull anyway, right? Like, you know, I'm pretty sure I have, like, I've muted, you know, tweets from like Candace Owens and, you know, certain people that just, like, when I see them, I know your job is to try and get my blood pressure up, so I'm gonna ignore you, right? Like, I do that for my own personal health. So I filter to an extent already on Twitter. And then when I come over to Instagram, like, I'm definitely not following like everybody, because, you know, it's, and another thing too, a lot of Instagram people you follow just for their pictures that they post, if you know what I'm saying. Just for the pictures. And now you got to read threads from these people, and it's like, do I really care what you think? I don't read the captions under your model pictures. I don't read them. So now I got to read your threads. So we're going to have to figure out some way to clean up and kind of organize threads a little better. And Threads is going to have to think of some ways just to insert the fun into this app, because while the app is clean, the transitioning to the app was seamless. You got to insert some fun. If you don't insert the fun, then the people will not be here for long. All right. And listen, by the way, speaking of being here for long, please make sure you hit that like button. Drop a comment below and subscribe. Subscribe to this channel. Hit that notification bell so that you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new fire content on this page. Thank you guys for hanging out here with me and being good partners. Speaking of being a good partner, Keke Palmer was in the news last week. Keke Palmer was in the news last week. We love a child star who's grown into a beautiful adult woman. And but Keke was in the news for not necessarily the right reasons. And by the way, I don't want to make this all about Keke, because the story that was circulating was not so much about Keke so much as it was about her baby daddy slash boyfriend slash I don't know how, if they're married, whatever. But so Keke was at an Usher concert. You know, Usher does like the residency in Vegas. And, you know, part of Usher's act has always been the fan interaction. Like, Usher has been doing this for years, I remember being 20, 22, 23, whatever, having conversations with my boy. Hey, yo, dog. Hey, if Usher pulled my girl up on the stage, she going home by herself. Yeah, dog. If Usher better stay away from my girl, she came here with me. I mean, come on, dawg. Like, Usher has been doing this forever. This is not new. Usher has been a menace to insecure men all over the country for years. Damn you, Usher. But really, like, in all seriousness, that's all it is, right? That's all it is, you know, us men, we have our little insecurities about certain things. And in the case of Keke Palmer's man, you know, his insecurities got laid bare, you know, for the world to see. And it was very unfortunate. So if you don't know, here's kind of how this played out, right? So Keke posted some Instagram videos of her at the Usher concert. And, you know, she's like, oh, I'm here with Usher. You know, whatever, showing off her outfit. She had a nice, you know, very sexy outfit. It was, you know, very tight, you know, it was sheer in certain places. You know, the cheeks was out. You know what I mean? She looked good. She looked great. And her man, you know, apparently saw these pictures. Okay. And I don't think the pictures is what did him in. It's what happened later that kind of did him in. So as Usher is doing his set, right, he gets to the part of the show where he walks through the crowd and he looks for people to perform for, right? And so he gets over to Keke, and when he goes to Keke, right, like, he's singing to her and she's standing up and she's giving him all the attention, okay? She's giving him all the attention. He's dancing. I mean, she, you know, she's dancing on him. Like, listen, she is giving him full messaging that if you say it's on, okay? Like, she was dancing all up. Yeah, look, I mean, look, again, this is not Usher. Usher was performing a show. He was performing his show. This is the same thing he's been doing in his shows for years, for decades, okay? I do not blame Usher here, okay? Now, let me say this. When the videos came of, you know, Usher performing for Keke and her dancing with Usher, you know, it's like, it looked very innocent, right? I mean, I can say that because that wasn't my wife, but like, it looked like it was just a normal part of the show. Okay. Now, when these videos got back to Keke Palmer's man, he took the absolute worst possible route to react to this. He took the social media and he decided he wanted to shame her. He wanted to mom shame her. He tweeted, you're a mom, right? So he's basically trying to shame her for her behavior, for her outfit, just trying to say that she's being like an embarrassment to her kids and to her family. And I got to tell you, bro, that was swing and a miss. That was a swing and a miss. It was a swing and a miss because here's the thing. Like, people have taken this conversation all sorts of places. You know, like, she didn't have to approve her outfit with him before she left the house. He didn't have to okay it or any, none of that. But you do, you know your woman looks good and you know she wants to show off her body. Like if she just had a baby, I'm sure she did some work to get her body back to where she wants it to be. And if she wanted to show it off, then you should be supporting her fully and showing off her body, okay? You should be making her feel good about how good and sexy she looks, okay? But like, and even if you had a problem with it, then this is the type of thing that you guys should have understood before you get to that situation, right? If you're the type of person who doesn't like your partner dressing sexy when they go out, they should know this before it ever happens. And you should know if they don't give a damn and they're going to dress sexy anyway. You should know, you guys got to know your partners. Okay, so like ultimately what happened is he played himself by trying to shame her, because what happened was all the wave. Oh my God, he got the wave of backlash from all the women. Don't try to shame her. You just insecure. You look like a cornball. You know what I mean? Like the pitchforks were out. So, you know, he definitely played himself like in that way. And don't get me wrong, there was a lot of support for him too. A lot of guys are like, oh, yeah, you a mom. You got to have some standards and all this. You know, look, man, what works for, I tell y'all just like I tell my kids, every family is different. What works for one family is not what works for another family. Okay, like me personally, my wife is not the type of person that would, type of person, then like you're a bad person, but like as a human, my wife does not feel comfortable dressing like that out in public. I like that, right? Like that's one of the things I like about her. You know what I mean? She's a beautiful woman. She's very sexy. Shout out to Mrs. Williams. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, but just her personal, you know, her personal style, she's modest. She's modest in that way, right? I like that. That's one of the qualities that I love about her, right? Now, that's not to say that if she wanted to wear something that was showing off her body because she was really feeling sexy, or she worked hard, you know, to bring her body back after having a baby or whatever. Like, honestly, tell you, I swear to hand to the Bible, if my wife wanted to wear something like that, I'll support her. You know why? Because I want her to feel beautiful. I want her to feel sexy. Because here's the thing, when Usher comes and, you know, dances with her and sings with her and fills her head with all these lusty fantasies, she's still coming home to me. Hello. Hello. I'm going to be the beneficiary of all that lustiness that's building up in her brain after her interaction with Usher. Okay? Like, that's the part that you got to realize here. So he kind of played himself by trying to publicly shame her. He should absolutely apologize because he was in the wrong for that. And it's, you know, like, it just, he just, you know, he was wrong for that. Now, let me say this too. I think Kiki was also in the wrong here. I know everybody's not going to like that, but I'm going to say this is why Kiki was wrong. I'm not saying that Kiki was wrong for what she was wearing. She could wear whatever she wants to. She's a grown-ass woman. It's her body. I believe in all that, okay? But you got to know your partner. Right? Like, you got to know your partner. Somebody talk to me. You got to know your partner. You got to know the person you're dating. You got to know what works for them and what doesn't. What they'll put up with and what they won't. What aggravates them and what, and you know, whatever, what they're cool with. And you got to know if your partner is very jealous and insecure. You got to know these things. You got to know the person who you're dating, especially if you're trying to have a family and a life with that person. You got to know this person. And it's not about repressing yourself, right? It's about if that kind of person works for you and the kind of person that you are and the kind of person that you want to be, right? So if you know that your partner is very jealous and insecure about the idea of you showing your body or whatever. And by the way, I don't even think that's the case. I think he just felt some type of way about seeing her dance all up on Usher, about her appearing so available to Usher. I think that was just the real problem here. And by the way, I think just about any man would feel some type of way about seeing his committed partner being all googly-eyed, dancing up on Usher. God, come on, man. Like, nobody want to see that? Don't nobody want to see that? Nobody wants to see that from their girlfriend, from their boy. Nobody wants. I'm sorry. I don't think nobody wants to see that. So I think he saw that and he got very jealous and insecure and he acted out. He acted out. So, you know, he definitely should apologize to her for that. But again, if you are like, okay, look, as a dude, right? Like, you know, I see women, right? Like, I'm not like blind, you know, because I'm married. My eyes didn't stop working, but I don't like comment on women's bodies, right? Like, I don't do that, right? Because I don't want to make my wife uncomfortable, right? By getting into conversations about that. Like, I just don't do it. There's no benefit to it for me. And for me, I just see that as like part of like being a good partner, right? Is I try not to, you know, engage in stuff like that. So I don't have to deal with it on the back end. Like, what's the benefit? It's like, oh, I could be sitting here with my boy and be like, oh yeah, that girl looks so good. You know, look at her boobs, look at her butt, whatever. But like, if that's a whole hour and a half conversation I gotta have when I get home, what was the point? Somebody talk to me. I'm not like, you gotta pick your battles, brothers. You got to pick your battles, man. And so I'm a leave y'all with this. I believe it was the great philosopher Fabulous, Fabolous, who once said, it's okay to lose your pride over someone you love, but don't lose somebody you love over your pride. Stick with your entree and get over your side. Thank you. Give it up for the boy Fabulous. And I think that's the advice that Keke Palmer and her man need to take. And I think that's advice we all need to take. It's okay to put your pride to the side sometimes, you know what I mean, and have conversations with your significant other about the things you like, the things they like, and, you know, what works best for everybody involved, all right? So take that information and do with it what you will. Listen, if you like this content, please hit that like button on this video. Hit the subscribe button. Subscribe to this channel. Hit that notification bell so you get notified each and every time we drop some brand new content, some brand new fire content on this channel. I want to talk about one more wrestling thing before we get up out of here, and that's this. The boy, LA Knight. LA Knight. LA Knight is over. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Listen, I'm a big LA Knight fan. I watch Impact, so you know, I saw him when he was Eli Drake in TNA, and I was, you know, a big fan of his thing he was doing, the dummy. Yeah, like all this, he's been doing this for a long time. The guy's a great mic guy, just phenomenal work, and you know, but a lot of people are not big fans of LA Knight and what he does. And one of these people is Kevin Nash.
Okay, LA Knight, there he is. Go back.
Yeah, LA Knight.
Okay, LA Knight, pull that motherfucker up. Am I the only one that sees, like, an absolute ripoff of The Rock?
Yikes.
To the point where he cut the promo on fucking Logan Paul or whatever the fuck his name is. He said, stick it. The only thing he didn't do was turn the motherfucker sideways.
Sideways.
Jeez. Jesus Christ. Are you guys, like, what is, everybody have amnesia?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing original. Oh, man, his promo. His fucking promos. Finally! LA Knight has come back as a white guy.
Yo, so that's a clip from Kevin Nash's The Click podcast. And please go check out Kevin Nash's podcast. Kevin Nash, by all accounts, is a great dude, man. You know what I mean? I've seen him support a lot of people and causes that I just think are admirable. So, you know, I'm a big fan of Kevin Nash. But I want to talk about this LA Knight thing, right? So in this clip, we just heard Kevin Nash from his podcast basically hating on the boy LA Knight. And look, LA Knight is over. Stop hating. Stop hating. LA Knight is over. Listen, so many people, Kevin Nash is not the first one. I don't mean to single Kevin Nash out, but that's just a clip of audio that where we actually hear it. People comparing him to Stone Cold and to The Rock. Duh. People saying he's actually ripping them off. But here's the thing, right? Like, if you're going to rip people off, First of all, the whole wrestling business is about trying to find a character that works for the audience. And in trying to find a character that works for the audience, you would be foolish to not try and borrow from people who did things that worked for the audience before. Does that not make sense? Does that not make sense? Right? So if you see people who were arguably the greatest ever at doing stuff that worked for the audience, why would you not try to borrow from them and be inspired by them? Right? Like, people did the same thing to Kobe Bryant. People did the same thing to Kobe Bryant. The biggest knock people have always had on Kobe Bryant was, oh, he's just imitating Jordan. He's just trying to be like Jordan. Which is like a stupid criticism. Who would you rather be like than Michael Jordan if you're a basketball player? Like, of course you're trying to be like Jordan. The problem people really had, this is what they were really saying, he was doing it well. Kobe Bryant was doing his imitation of Michael Jordan well. It was the closest thing they had seen to Jordan since Michael Jordan. And so that's why people hated on Kobe Bryant for imitating Michael Jordan. And guess what? This is the same thing here with LA Knight and people hating on him for comparing or copying The Rock and Stone Cold. A couple of points on this real quick. Number one, the Attitude Era was 30 years ago. 30 years ago, people, get over it. The Attitude Era is long gone. And it's not just that the Attitude Era is long gone. Here's the thing you gotta realize is that the majority of the people who are watching now and are gonna be watching 30 years from now, they've never actually seen The Rock and Stone Cold do their thing. They've seen, you know, these shell versions that have come back years later, but they've never actually seen those guys do their thing. So this is new to them. This is new to them. Don't be a hater. I did the same thing the other day. I heard that Burna Boy song where it's where he's basically doing sitting on top of the world, right? That Mason Brandy song from like 98 or 90 something like that. And I heard that and I was like, oh God, why they copying this? And I was like, wait a minute. This is the same thing people said when Mason Puff came out with Feel So Good. Oh, yeah, yeah. People, when they came out with Feel So Good, people were like, why are you just copying Hollywood Swinger? You know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing people said. So stop being get off my lawn guy. LA Knight is over. People like it. His act is good. It's fun. People love to see it. And if WWE is smart, then they'll give him something good to do on TV sooner rather than later. Because LA Knight he's a superstar, man. He's a superstar. And if they don't take advantage of it, then that's just money they're leaving on the table. So to all the LA Knight haters out there saying that, you know, he's copying somebody or anybody else, I just say, don't hate, congratulate, baby. Don't hate, congratulate, okay? One more time, listen. Look, that's all we got for this show this week, all right? Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I appreciate every call, every email, every tweet, every like, every single person who's supporting the show. I appreciate you guys so much. So please make sure you like, comment, rate, and subscribe to this channel. Hit that notification bell so you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new fire content on this page. If you're watching this, if you're listening to this on the pod, make sure you subscribe to the pod, share it with somebody else. If you really like the show, you want to support me, you want to support the pod, the best thing you can do is share it with somebody, drop it in their inbox, drop it, attach it to a tweet, to a thread, or a conversation. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's bring more people into the conversation. Thank you guys so much for kicking it with me. I'm going to try to get these out to you guys regularly every week going forward. But until next time, I'm TW. Peace.